are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
the best of season 13 here on Sips, Suds, and Smokes. We're going to start off with a segment that is something we haven't done in the past, which is just talk about some industry topics. In our Sudscast and our Smokescast are going to have a lively discussion.
And as we do at the end of every season, today we're going to look back at some of our favorite moments from the past year.
We've pulled a few clips from season 13 episodes.
From the Sips crew, we are doing our best of the year picks. So we're going to start with our best of the year whiskey. The Sips crew also do the wine episodes.
We also wanted to discuss the state of smokes, and we're going to wander between cigars, pipe tobacco, and the third rail of THC.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Welcome to this episode of the best of season 13 here on Sips, Suds, and Smokes. We're going to start off with a segment that is something we haven't done in the past, which is just talk about some industry topics. In our Sudscast and our Smokescast are going to have a lively discussion.
Hey, if you've been kind of paying attention to what's been going on in the brewing industry for the last year, it's kind of interesting. There has really been this massive drop off in terms of consumption of beer in the U.S. And
sad.
I think it's a combination of several things that are kind of coalescing together. Mm-hmm. One is the huge ramp and a lot of breweries coming around in the U.S.
Yeah.
But what we're finding is that the U.S. consumer palate is very fickle. So I think the opening salvo in that was actually the invasion of a lot of hard ciders, a lot of flavoring.
THC drinks.
Is definitely absolutely the next chapter in this as well. And so if there would be, a theme to this, I'd go, what's your price for getting hammered? Because right. It seems like, the almighty dollar, associated with altering your current state of disposition seems to be what's driving a lot of this consumer behavior. What do the two of you think about, how is this really impacted the quality of beer? I think would be, how I'd like to open the first question.
Well, I think anytime that you're paring down a market, right? I think you have to get back to, a lot of times people have to get back to
the basics
and like what is beer flavored beer. And I think we've seen that over the last couple of years that a lot of breweries are stepping back from some of the big experimental lactose laden, heavy handed things. Not everybody, but a lot of breweries are at least getting back to the pilsners, the lagers, the different things, stepping back away and maybe trying to appeal to some of that crowd that's maybe a little iffy on beer in general,
Yeah, I think that, yes, we have definitely gone back to basics. I see that there's a lot more pilsners out in the universe and you're seeing a lot of more basic flavored beer or beer flavored beer. But the caveat to that is like when we go to a tap room or we go out for a drink somewhere, I'm noticing that the younger crowd is very skittish on what they're tasting and trying, and they're very specific about what their flavor is that they want to have. Whereas, like, with me, maybe I'm like really old school, but to me, it's about having a taster, like trying several offerings from a brewery, especially if it's a new one that we're like passing through and trying something different, and then like honing in on the one that speaks to me the most, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then having a full pint of that while trying to get like an idea of what the brewery is all about. Maybe that's just me. And for those of us that lived before COVID, we enjoyed, minus the pastry stouts and other type of excessively fruity things, we enjoyed beer. And then the pandemic happened, and we were trying to help out the breweries that were here that were local, because it was hard for us to go out and move around the cabin, so to speak. So the pendulum shifted, and I'm still kind of waiting for that pendulum to come back, but it's not coming back. And I don't know that it ever will come back now. Like, it's completely changed the landscape. And will we ever recover?
We would absolutely love to know your feedback on these topics and sharing them openly on all of our social media channels. So when you get a moment, feel free to drop some comments on our discussion. We'd really love to hear what you think about some of these topics.
We also wanted to discuss the state of smokes, and we're going to wander between cigars, pipe tobacco, and the third rail of THC. We're also going to drift between issues of regulatory perspective, consumer, and manufacturer. But let's start this consumer cigars in general off with the year of the five cigar band.
Year of the five cigar band. I think yes. I think that needs to start real soon.
That's a good old boy Mike custom right there. The year of the five cigar band.
Yeah. Why just have three, four? Go for five.
Man. I don't know. Why don't they
could the cycle.
Just, well, yeah. They could just be like Matt Booth, wrap it in paper and shove a whole tube on it. You know?
There you go.
Works for me. I love that though. Tobacco is still feeling like the long echo of the cigarette regulations and protecting minors.
Well, you know, so with, you know, cigars and consumers, you know, I guess part of what I'm thinking about is that I just don't really see what I would describe as a lot of innovation in terms of new products, you know, that have been released. I just feel like people are pumping out more puros from Honduras and from Nicaragua, and or they're working with tobaccos from both of those countries, you know, extensively, or the DR.
Well, that's where tobacco grows.
I know, but it's just, I keep on waiting for, wow, something amazing, you know, to come along that, you know, just looking for just a shred of innovation.
I'm right here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm right here.
I don't know. That's my impression, is that I just...
Well,
I
what about that recent law that went into effect?
I just feel like everything's on cruise control, you know, right now. Yeah.
Well, did you see the recent law that went into effect in California?
I did.
The one that lumped premium cigars with flavored products like vaping?
Yes.
Boo.
Yeah. Premium cigar trade groups are still protesting. The biggest point of impact is the price that they set, a floor price of
$12
per cigar in California, which was meant to be in effect to turn minors and young adults away from cigars. Do you think it's turning them away?
I think they would have to be turned towards it first to turn them away. That's right. I don't see the correlation there.
They have a big cigar smoking young people in California. I mean, I don't see it here.
I think if anything, it's going to be THC products and flavored e-vapes.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, big time.
Because that's what they can get away with.
Like, and it's cheaper.
And they're cheaper, yeah. For $25, you can buy a vape that'll last you 500 puffs, you know?
I really
and you can put it in your pocket
about the fact that that becomes a model law for other states to pick up. And because the way that state legislatures are lobbied by common trade groups is that they use the same legislative language from one jurisdiction to another. And that one was written so poorly and so broad. And I just don't feel like it is going to be as effective as they wanted it to be.
Well, that brings us around to the third rail of THC. That's the chemical in marijuana. and is now infused into a number of things like candy, potato chips.
Potato chips.
Every yeah. drinks. Yeah, yeah. We potato chips. Oh, are, dude.
However
are
you want it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Cheetos?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Cheetos. Cheetos. I love them. All right. Specifically, yeah. Yeah. The Kanagars. Kanagars. Curious if you've ever had one.
What's a Kanagar?
It's a cannabis cigar.
Yeah,
really.
We used to call those cigar blunts.
That's right. Yeah, it's big time. Or
is this like the White Owl that you?
It's a blend of tobacco and cannabis.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we called them spliffs back in the day.
Okay.
And that's what we would do. You know, not that I would ever condone that, but you know, by the royal we would do those. Yeah. One major French production issue is that nearly all these products are being hand rolled. Since that usually adds too much moisture for the common automated cigar roller to work with, these enhanced cigars, are these the sticks of our near future?
No.
I don't think so either. I think they need to keep those regulations so far away from cigar regulations.
I think they're crossing the streams.
Yeah. It's a lobbyist, and those lobbyists need to be careful because they are definitely treading waters where they don't need to be swimming.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a
Welcome back, and now we're going to have our Sudscast talk about their best of season 13 choices.
Well, folks, it happened. Somehow we made it through another season of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Mostly unscathed.
And unindicted.
Yes.
Year's not over.
And as we do at the end of every season, today we're going to look back at some of our favorite moments from the past year.
We've pulled a few clips from season 13 episodes. We're just going to play a little bit of each one. For the full conversation, you can go back and check out the full episodes.
All right, well, let's start the show. From the episode, Pernicious Weed Are Among Us, which was a chance for us to revisit Wicked Weed Brewing in Asheville, North Carolina, a brewery we have not talked about very much since they were purchased by AB InBev in 2017. While the flight of their current beer was a bit of a letdown,
shaky.
The bonus beer brought by good old boy Tim was a stunner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How come I have a feeling this is a pre-acquisition beer?
I think it was.
This is a pre-acquisition beer.
Oh, I know it was
beer.
Because I bought it.
Right.
I'm like literally not joking, though.
No, this is... He literally bought that beer.
Not joking, yes. Tim does not buy acquisition beers.
No, he does not. Now, that particular beer was the Batch 1000, and
Every time we've had it, it's been a different but amazing experience.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah. Well, that was a classic.
Thank you, Wicked Weed, pre-acquisition.
Yes. Now, another highlight of the year was from our episode titled The Beer Romantics. We have some clips from some of the good old boys, one in particular, and how they, seduce their wives with beer.
I mean, I think beer pairs with cheese so much better than wine anyway. And so this is something I'm going to do to elevate the meal.
Beer does almost everything better than wine.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Agreed.
So I'm picturing you, scantily clad on a bearskin rug in front of the fire. Seducing June with a charcuterie board.
Things
and
just really got
Cantillon. That's that.
I would think I'd be wearing an apron. I was working in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. All right.
Nothing but an apron.
All right.
Yeah, that would do.
Oh, nothing speaks more like romance than beer and cheese.
And Kendall buck naked on a rug.
I just don't know how I can get that picture out of my mind.
I hope you never do. I hope you never do. Like,
there is not enough pharmaceuticals in front of me to eradicate that from my mind.
That will be my best of season 13, is if this is imprinted in Mike's consciousness.
I'm definitely thinking of George Costanza.
Yes,
you know,
that's on, what I was on thinking
the,
too.
On the chase, you know.
Yes.
I have seen Barger do that in a way that's just, you don't want that picture.
No.
Yikes.
Oh, let's have Kendall anytime.
Okay, let's move on to the next.
Anything.
Okay. Then there was that other episode that was titled Where Good Old Boy Mike Actually Likes a Beer.
I still can't believe that happened.
We all can't. But you know what? We got it caught on audio, it's real. We tasted beer from Moore Brewing in Huntley, Illinois. Now for something completely different.
Yeah. And now for something completely different.
Yes. We are going to Thomas, which is a 7.2%.
Thomas
Black IPA.
Timmer.
With Cascade, CTZ, and Citra hops.
This is a really nice counterpoint to that last beer.
Yeah, thank you for taking us over the mountain to the other side.
Thank you for cleansing my palate, my colon.
Yeah, I had to cut it off at the colon talk.
Where beer will cleanse your colon. Cool is that?
That would be a good marketing tactic.
I'm pretty sure, if you were getting a colonoscopy and their doctor was like, look, I need you to pound this six pack.
Oh, I've had colonoscopies. All I have to say is, you can push the propofol now.
I mean, so much better than the go lightly, right?
Yeah, mix a bunch of stuff into Gatorade. Forget that, man. Give me a six pack of Black IPA. Clean it out. And for context, the previous beer was a peach cobbler beer.
Oh yeah.
So it was nice to have that little bit of relief.
Really like that.
I didn't say which beer in the show you liked.
Okay.
Okay. And then another fun clip we had was from Sierra Nevada's Heavy Hitter. We tried some huge and amazing Sierra Nevada IPAs that had been packed in an equally huge mix pack.
They were totally huge.
Okay. Rating this, looking at it at the store, picking it up, having that expectation, the Sierra Nevada expectation, if you will. And then now trying these. Are you happy?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about it, that pack, you probably had $1.50 a beer.
That's crazy, especially for all that hops.
You're never going to find that anywhere.
No. And the fact that they're in cans, they're going to last a little bit. I mean, yes, it's better to keep it cooler than keep it warm.
Yep.
But, I mean, that pretty much goes with any beer, really. Were you forgetting that they were hops in the beer and not something else, maybe?
There was something else in the beer. But I'll tell you what was so cool about that episode. Not only that I got 36 super high ABV IPAs for $1.50 each, was the fact it was Sierra Nevada, man. They were all solid beers. It was a great package deal. And whenever you can find a mix pack that good, you have to jump on it.
Yeah, true. And that's, I hate to say that's a rarity these days where you actually get a mix pack everything in the mix pack is worth drinking.
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
You know? Anyways. Those are the clips for the day. Good old boy Mike, I think you had a beer of the year that you wanted to talk about.
I did,
right?
Very briefly. So what I thought was interesting was, the beer that caught my attention is actually a grisette. So, which is a very neat, style of a fermented beverage. This was actually a farmhouse ale from Garden Path Fermentation. It was called the Easygoing Drink. Really amazing, can that I enjoyed of this. Refreshing, crisp, dry, great balance. I usually think of grisette as being a lot sweeter and more viscous. This was something different and really quite good. So,
well, grisette's sort of a cousin to the saison, right?
Yeah, so, it is. Yeah. I call it the slippery cousin of the saison
because
it usually has a lot more viscosity, with the grisette.
It's more wheat based too, I think.
Yeah, which presents usually a higher mouthfeel. So, but yeah. Great beer. I really love this. It was the Suds 5 all day long for me.
Nice.
Cool. Yep. Cool. Well, one thing also that we are going to do is we are going to raise a glass to our friend and co-host, Good Ol' Boy Caperton. He sadly has left us on this plane, but we still revisit him every year. And this is a way of saying, hey, we miss you and we love you very much. So today's beer that we are having as a toast is one that I think he would appreciate. It's from Scratch Brewing and it's the Wild Cherry Beer de Garde, which is an older one.
It's a 2018.
Yeah. And 7.0% ABV. So let's raise our glass.
Thank you, Caperton. I'm glad. I hope you're eradicating kudzu in heaven.
I was going to say, I bet there's a lot less kudzu in heaven right
yes,
now.
Yes, so, yes.
The master of Vader.
And a lot of great music.
Great beer. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And a great season of Suds here on Sip Suds and Smokes.
Solid, yep. Solid show.
With more to come.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Up next, we're going to have our Sips cast members talk about their favorite products for season 13.
Hey, and this is Good Old Boy Bob from the Sips crew, and we are doing our best of the year picks. So we're going to start with our best of the year whiskey. Brent, what was your best of the year whiskey?
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but my best of the year was the King of Kentucky. It's the same one I picked last year. Beautiful, beautiful mouthfeel. You get those cherries, the leather, tobacco. It just covers everything. Your mouth, your throat, your soul, everything. There's nothing wrong with this. This is why I liked it the year before. This year, I don't know that it's going to be hard for something to come along and say, yeah, that's going to be better than that. So just truly enjoyed it.
Well, they make a good one every year. What are you going to do?
Yeah. You know, I hate you so much that you stole that from under me.
No, I didn't steal it.
I never.
If you'd have responded in a timely manner, you would have
done it. I rarely pick up bourbon for best whiskey of the year, but you know what? I think this year's King of Kentucky was the second best whiskey I ever tasted in my life.
Justin, yeah. What's your pick for best of the year?
I like the Glendronach Allardyce Single Malt Scotch Whiskey 18-year. The reason it was my favorite, it had amazing mouthfeel, fantastic flavors, and a finish that wouldn't end. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, Harm, what was your pick for best whiskey of the year?
Well, it's literally my second best whiskey of the year because Brent stole mine because that was the best. But my favorite whiskey of the year, and I'm going to go back to a scotch because I always go to scotches, and that would be the 2024 special release of the Singleton Glen Ord. We don't get Glen Ord in this country often except for special releases and, you know, things like Prima and Ultima, which are several thousand dollars. This was vanilla pound cake and orange pastry cream with water. Without the water, it was all butterscotch. It was rich. It was gorgeous. And it's a whiskey that's really hard to get in this country, but still not super expensive. So the 2024 release of the Singleton Glen Ord Autumn Walk 14-year-old special release, that's the one to get. It's the scotch to look for this year. And I know it's 2025, but by the time it got to America, it was very early 2025.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the box right now with the 2025 special releases that we haven't gotten to yet.
We haven't recorded that show yet. Is it going to even air this year?
But it also has the Singleton of Glen Ord. No, it'll probably record. It'll probably go out in January, like this went out in January
right.
of 2025.
There
so
you go.
That's how it works sometimes. So let's see what Maury had for Maury. Maury's pick for best of the year was the 2025 release of the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon.
This was a different one because it was sweet mash as opposed to sour mash. Let's see what his thoughts were on that.
On the color, it's got a real nice medium copper color. On the nose, there's some herbaceousness, a hint of cardamom, some raw oak, a hint of green apple.
I don't get the cardamom here.
Fruit. You didn't get the cardamom?
I got the cardamom on the last one. I don't. Other than that, I'm getting it for this.
I love when you interrupt him because it always throws him off. Yeah.
On the palate, again, a cardamom, oak, tropical fruit, green apple. The finish has got some burnt sugar, some leather, a hint of chai spice, and it seems to linger on and on. This is an interesting birthday bourbon. It's definitely a departure from previous editions, but it's delicious nonetheless and something that I always look forward to, and this year is no exception.
All right. Well, that was his pick. I think he had birthday bourbon last year as well. So it's always a good one. Always a good one. So let's see. For me, let's see. My favorite pick of the year. Can you guess what it is?
Me.
George T. Stagg.
Yeah. How'd you guess? Yeah. The 2025 George T. Stagg. So yeah, 142.8 proof of brick to the face happiness. It was the return of Stag. Last year was a little light. Year before was good. Last year was a little light, but so good. You guys have any runner-ups, anything that was tickling your fancy?
My runner-up would have been the Oban Coastal Orchard from that same show that we recorded the special releases.
That was a really good one.
It was absolutely fantastic. It was like what I think you called it sitting in an apple orchard in Provence.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, good
description. Well, that and my runner-up was the Lagavulin 12-year-old special release from last year. So, you know, what did you think, Brent?
Yeah, I would have thought maybe the William LaRue Weller. That one is very special again this year. One of those ones that you just, you know, thoroughly enjoy. It's kind of made a comeback as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one?
My runner-up was this year's Handy 2025. Yeah. Handy. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was Handy of old is what it was.
You guys all like those 2025 BTAX, but you know my favorite was the most subtle. That the Sazerac was just so subtle. That's not true. The Weller was probably my favorite this year from BTAC, but sometimes you want a punch in the face, sometimes you want a gentle caress. You know, I'm not kink shaming.
Says the guy wearing the leather mask and no pants. Yeah, I wouldn't if I was you. So, Lord, right in the toilet. So, we also, the Sips crew also do the wine episodes. So, Harm, what was your pick for wine of the year that we had?
So the pick of the year I had for this year was the Pritchard Hill from Chapelet. Chapelet makes some wonderful wine that's affordable, but then they have the Pritchard Hill, which is, unless you're a multimillionaire, it may not be affordable. If you got yacht money, it's definitely affordable. It's under $1,000, but it's in the $300 range generally, usually.
But so good.
But you know what? It was amazing. It's plush. It's got all the rich fruit, and it's got graphite. It's got amazing tannin, chocolate on the nose. It's the type of wine that's structured. It's gorgeous. You need to have some fatty steaks with this stuff kind of thing because it cleanses the palate when you take a sip. It's gorgeous. My friend just left for her PhD program at Gainesville, and to say goodbye, I opened a bottle of this. This is a special occasion wine. And I love this wine. You have to have the Chapelet Pritchard Hill.
You can't go wrong with it.
2021 vintage.
Every year is fantastic, but that one was a good one. Let's see what Maury's pick was.
I agree with just about everything you said, surprisingly enough.
It's bound to happen once in a while.
I love the nose on it. I thought the nose, you nailed it. And their tasting notes were really pretty spot on, both on the nose and on the palate. I would agree with you. There's a lot of toasted oak. There's these velvety tannins, but definitely not overpowering.
That was Maury's thoughts on his pick of the year, which was the Justin Reserve Cab Sauvignon 2021, which everybody...
Oh, yeah.
Roundly loved. A really, really good one. So what was your pick, Justin?
I like the Davis Estates Phase 5 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. If you're going to be shot by a Phase 5 phaser, you might as well be drinking Davis Estates Phase 5.
It was fantastic.